A few words before we get rolling. The General is with me per usual. Coming up on our 7th anniversary, well over 300 shows. Man, the timing of the Trump indictment is perfect for our 15th episode of the American Dream series. We closed out our last show identifying the birth of the establishment. More on this. Today's a perfect day to explain this. But the birth of the establishment closed out our 14th episode, which was in the 1890s. The hidden money, huge money, never before seen money. In national politics, as America changed from a Jeffersonian, agrarian, small central government fighting back the corrupting influence of foreign money that was used to kickstart new industries in the New World, both the First Industrial Revolution, pre-Civil War, and the big boy, the Gilded Age, the Second Industrial Revolution, after the Civil War. What happened from 1870 to 1900 is so relevant today, folks. We have to tap the brakes and slow it down and focus on parts of history that were not taught. Focus on parts of history that are not at the top of mind. And the American Dream series stays focused on, without sounding like Steve Bannon, stays focused on the signal, not the noise. The signal is wealth. Wealth, wealth, wealth. Wealth corrupts, power corrupts. The wealth that was created up here in the North, Ohio specifically, Pennsylvania specifically, New York specifically, spills over into D.C. in 1896. The power those men had in funding presidential elections was in unchartered territory. And the American people then knew something was up. And we had the rise of populism. William Jennings Bryan, big, tall, handsome, 36-year-old guy, ran for president in 1896, gave a famous speech I mentioned at the end of the last show, the Gold Cross speech. Go back and listen to that. Catch it on YouTube. And you'll hear it's maybe one of the very first times in American history where you can hear the speaker in exact words and form your own decision. But why was that speech so important? Why did it launch a 36-year-old William Jennings Bryan from the back of the DNC to the top of its ticket in 96 to run against William McKinley? It's because the voice of the people, the vox populi, was growing, and it was meeting the wealthy industrialists on the mat. And the wealthy industrialists of that time, soon to become the establishment of our time, had to do something to deal with this upstart William Jennings Bryan and populism. And the way they did it, they just outspent him. I mean, it was just classic American modern politics. But the presidency, the executive branch, was designed by the founding generation to be the smallest and least impactful branch. That all changed with the election of Will McKinley in 96, his re-election in 1900, his assassination by a, quote, anarchist. I put it in quotes because I'm told by our government school books he was an anarchist, but I'm putting it in quotes because the General and I are going to actually take a peek at him and see if he qualifies as an anarchist, or was he just a disgruntled, broken-down laborer with mental illness. But the installation of Teddy Roosevelt into American politics upon the assassination of Will McKinley was the beginning of the end of populism for 100 years, till 2016, maybe the Tea Party, 2010. And what replaced it was progressivism. It was using the power of the executive branch to change the face of the presidency. It was using smarty pants from Ivy Leagues to craft policy. Smarty pants that were being hired by the bushel, by the wealthy industrialists. So populism rose in response to the Gilded Age. Populism rose again 100 years later in response to the financial bailouts of 2008. Even a C student from a tier three law school could figure that out. But from the West and the South in the late 1890s, the West and the South, the battle over monetary policy, fiscal policy, and silver. And that was the battle then, was the ability to expand into the United States and not have your politics controlled by the Eastern elite. And by 1913, that establishment virus was congressionally approved with the passage of the Federal Reserve Act, signed by the first progressive president, Woodrow Wilson, December 23rd, 1913. It was passed in Congress just a couple days earlier. It was the last thing they did under the cover of night. Who won? The Hamiltonian Federalist finally got what they always wanted, a central bank. The Jeffersonian era of federalism was over. But when you hear federalism, I want you to think local. Vote local, act local, do business local. Federalism doesn't mean central government. It means the opposite. The Jeffersonians are coming back because the Jeffersonians' presidential candidate just got indicted. And my favorite Jeffersonian, the general, joins me now. General, what do you think? What's your take? We're going to pause here just a minute. Let's talk about this. Everyone's talking about this crossing the Rubicon again. Thoughts?
Well, the first thing I think about is we've interviewed the former governor of Illinois on this show, Rod Blagojevich.
A couple times.
And he said it best last night on the Tucker Carlson show, that what happened to him was a test run. This was a test run for what's happening to Trump. If you want to understand what's going to happen and unfold in the Trump case, you just have to go back and watch what happened in the Blagojevich case.
Yeah, Blago had a lot of his indictments, his convictions reversed on appeal. Blago still spent maybe a decade in prison. And it comes down to prosecutorial discretion. And don't underestimate the power of a county prosecutor or an attorney general. And I have some thoughts on what Republican, and we have to call it part, it is now. I mean, it's out in the open. It can't be, it is nothing but a political hatchet job. But this appears to be about an exercise of prosecutorial discretion. The biggest mistake one can fathom by this Alvin Bragg, the elected progressive Democrat who ran for Manhattan district attorney that Biden won by 87%, he got 87% of the vote. And that's going to be Trump's jury of his peers, okay? The Manhattan district attorney, Alvin Bragg, ran as the candidate who would punish Donald Trump. And he did it. He crossed the Rubicon. And Bragg would not have brought it against any defendant not named Donald Trump. So in a nutshell, Trump books the reimbursement of a loan as if it were a payment of legal fees. That's step one. Step two, Trump's then lawyer, Michael Cohen, laid out $130,000 on the eve of the 2016 presidential election to pay Stormy Daniels to keep quiet about an affair she had with Trump 17 years earlier. Number three, on the books of the Trump organization, that reimbursement was made to look like ongoing legal fees to Cohen. So trifling is that it's not clear that New York State suffered any financial harm. We're talking merely about how an expense was described in the accounting ledgers, not about tax evasion. But it gets worse. Falsification of financial records is a misdemeanor in New York. It's 2 years statute of limitations. This ought to be time barred, but this Bragg guy is going to stretch it into a felony to outlast the statute of limitations. We're going to catch more of this on the break and just see. This all started, guys, over 100 years ago, and history repeats itself, and we're going to share with you our thoughts on what's going to happen in the next couple years. Welcome back. I'm Attorney Brad Coffle. That's the General. Please support our sponsor, Flowerama Columbus. They are picking up 100% of our production costs. The General and I do not take any money for our research, writing, and time. We do this as it's a passion. It's our hobby. Keeps us sane. And the way you can support our show is to support our friends over at Flowerama Columbus. There is no specific reason to get flowers for someone other than just to be nice. And you can do that any day.
And no specific reason to get them anywhere else than Flowerama.
That's right. So
don't deal with amateurs.
Support our show. That's all we ask. Take care of our friends who are taking care of us. Back to Donald Trump. There's no reason to believe that the Donald General was intentionally trying to conceal a campaign finance crime. There's no reason. I don't think anyone thinks that.
Well, how could there? First of all, how could a state district attorney be bringing a campaign finance crime case when the person he's bringing it against wasn't running for a state office?
Yeah.
Before, it's a federal office, and he's not a federal prosecutor.
But
that's number one.
Yeah. Well, I say number one is Trump's mindset was not his mens rea. You got to have a guilt. You know, we don't prosecute people. You know, ignorance of the laws is not a defense. But you've also got to look at what this purpose, the citizen's purpose was. If the purpose was to conceal a campaign finance contribution, you would need to show something other than his actual motive was to avoid public humiliation if his wife and family learned that he'd paid for a porn star's silence about a fling. Falsifying records to avoid potential personal embarrassment, it affects him reputationally, I guess, politically, morally, but legally, it's not the concealment of a crime.
Well, also, these were not campaign funds that Trump used. This was Trump's own personal money.
Number two, I agree with you 100% on that. But let's look at this, even put our lawyer hat back on and take our historian hats off. If Bragg is right that the payment was an in-kind contribution, it happened so late in the campaign, a few days before the election, Trump would not have been required to disclose it until after the election. That is, the, quote, hush money payment cannot conceivably have made a difference in the outcome of the election. To your point, particularly in Manhattan, Bragg's limited area of jurisdiction, where Clinton beat Trump by over a half a million votes.
You mean not Clinton? Well, Clinton in 2016, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. It had no effect. I mean, Biden won Manhattan. He got 87% of the vote. If a former president is going to be prosecuted, and as a constitutional conservative, I don't have any misgivings about going after a man or woman who commits a high crime, who commits a crime, who previously served as our executive and our federal office. However, it should only be based on a criminal offense that passes the eye test or the smell test, both. A very serious crime that any other American would be indicted for and is coupled with convincing evidence.
Well, it's worse, though, than just going after a former president. You're also going after the chief opponent of the sitting president.
Yeah.
This is going after not some historical figure because you didn't like what he did. You're going after a soon to be more historical figure for what he might do.
Yeah. So keeping my defense attorney hat on, I'm very curious and troubled by this delayed indictment. There was, remember, just a couple days before this indictment was announced, which the press reported that the grand jury was taking a month off, that they were going to be delaying this maybe a month. What happened in between that press release or that intentional leak and moving on it so quickly Thursday late afternoon? Something happened, and we've got to get on that X.
And it's also a sealed indictment. So not only do we not get an official version of it to look at, but even though grand jury proceedings are supposed to be secret, they've leaked it all over the press so that we know everything about it almost. 34 counts, we know.
Hey, let me say this. Important reminder to our listeners, and thank you again for listening, staying on our show, sharing the show. Just so everyone knows, if you're keeping score at home, the State Department uses CNN. The CIA and Department the DNI use the Washington Post. The FBI and DOJ appear to use the New York Times and Politico. So these quote journalists are state controlled media
stenographers,
and a lot like the Columbus Dispatch is owned by Gannett Company. You don't get any local news there. You get what Gannett says, and it's picked up a bunch of... It's junk, right? It's junk. But remember, the State Department uses CNN, CIA tends to use the Post, FBI, DOJ use the New York Times and Politico. An indictment timed in support of and in concert with a Ron DeSantis campaign launch would be more appropriate given the nature of... everyone's intentions, the establishment's intentions. I'm going to say it now. The more I study Ron DeSantis, the more I am very concerned he is a neocon, that he has Karl Rove or Karl Rove apostles in his background. I think the Bush dynasty, the neocons who were displaced by Obama, look at Ron DeSantis as their next
Mitt Romney
Trojan horse to get back into power. And I'm very concerned about Ron DeSantis not being enough of a populist. And although I liked what he did down in Florida, I am concerned about his executive order tyranny. I just happen to agree with what he's done in Florida. I happen to agree with his policies in Florida on COVID and not closing. I happen to agree with going after Disney. But I am concerned that Ron DeSantis is another problem that our establishment has belched out, that he thinks that with a phone and a pen, he can make laws. And that's not our government. And I'm worried about Ron DeSantis. And I also think that foreign policy-wise, I don't think there's any difference between Ron DeSantis' future foreign policy that he'll lay out and Joe Biden's neoliberal foreign policy.
Well, you know, another interesting part about the politicization of and weaponization of the government, it just came out from Jim Jordan, our congressman, who had been taking testimony from journalist Matt Taibbi about the Twitter files.
Yeah, and who shows up?
As he was testifying, an IRS agent came to his home and demanded entry. I know it was at least one, but IRS agents never come to your home. They did that time.
Not unless you're a House GOPer that is getting too close
to the truth. They're sending a very clear message to Matt Taibbi. We will Alvin Bragg you.
I want you guys to think about Star Wars. Star Wars makes a lot of sense. The Empire... the stormtroopers, they're all in white. They look like NATO soldiers. Okay? We're being told that NATO is a peacekeeping group. Ask that the citizens of some of the nations where NATO peacekeepers have shown up on peace missions, and you find out who all's in the Death Star and who's running it all.
That'd be the Emperor.
Yeah.
Everything is proceeding exactly as I have foreseen it.
You will have rebels who are going to be your Han Solo, Luke Skywalker. Someone's got to be Chewie. But you are starting to see, as we move from 1984, George Orwell, and we move into George Lucas, right, in Star Wars, you're going to see that there is a natural progression to a global fiefdom, a geopolitical parliament. It's going to have its own board, and it's going to have an emperor, and it's going to have its own currency, and it's going to have its ability to track you. We are on the brink of the martyrdom of Donald J. Trump. And what a great time to be an American and a history lover. And that's where we're going to pick up this conversation after the break. I'm Attorney Brad Koffel. That's The General. Thanks for listening. The purple podcast button on Apple, iTunes, iHeartMedia app. You can catch our show For the Defense, .. of the American People with Brad Koffel and The General. And time for our shameless plug. If you find yourself on the receiving end of or a loved one being someone knocking on your door who's a government official and they are threatening to bring criminal charges against you, you're under investigation, by God, get a lawyer. Get a lawyer. Do not. This is not a DIY thing.
Don't talk meat. You can only hurt the ball club.
This is not DIY. And the General and I are available for rent. And we love going around our favorite, our second favorite state. I give Ohio my second favorite state. I think my favorite state right now, Montana.
I think my favorite state is the state of confusion. But go ahead.
Hey, I promised we'd pick up on this. The martyrdom of Donald J. Trump. This could be a stretch. We'll see. Were it not for the crucifixion of Jesus, would there be Christians? You know, there has to be some martyrdom. And Jesus became much more powerful once crucified. The raid at Mar-a-Lago was the beginning of the martyrdom of this guy. I think you can go back even further in time to say you can see the martyrdom.
The Russia, Russia, Russia.
The raid at Mar-a-Lago, and now the Manhattan District Attorney, Alvin Bragg, has been leading a tortured attempt to make Trump a criminal. Again, martyrdom sells. Trump didn't rise to the top of the food chain by bungling opportunities, and this is the biggest and best opportunity Donald J. Trump has to become president in 2024. There is a renewed enthusiasm for the troops to rally around him, and I'm one of them. I am so PO'd at two things. The establishment, which includes the Never Trumpers, rhinos, our existing House members, that I'm not hearing any repercussions for this cross of the Rubicon yet. And I have some thoughts on that, on how to strike back. And number two, I'm PO'd again at the American people that don't see this for what it is. It's going to be the same people that didn't see the COVID lockdowns for what it was. It's going to be the same people that didn't see the vaccination program for what it was. It's going to be the same people that didn't see the Russia collusion hoax for what it was. And these people are facilitating our nation's demise into it's going to allow us to slip into a global fiefdom.
What I don't understand is, let's take this out of a do it for the nation sort of an argument and take it, protect yourselves. If they can do this to a sitting governor in Illinois, if they can do this to a former president who is a multi-billionaire, they can do it to you too. And now, they will.
Now,
you're the next Robespierre.
Those two, Blago and Trump, put themselves in the ring, right? A lot of Americans are not in the ring. You got to get in the ring. You got to be willing to get in the ring. But another Trump presidency doesn't sound all that bad now, does it? When you compare it to another Biden presidency, or God forbid, a Kamala Harris presidency, or my God, a Michelle Obama presidency.
And one last thing to you rhinos out there who hate President Trump so much and think his presidency was a failure. If it weren't for him, we'd be in the second year of the second Hillary Clinton presidency. So how about shut up?
Yeah. And you American workers that are still voting Democrat, you're voting establishment Republican, you are literally funding the construction of this global fiefdom. China, Ukraine, Hunter's laptop, train derailments, gun violence, inflation, all decoys, all decoys. The real story is right in your face. In a global cartel of multinational big businesses, globalist think tanks, D.C. establishment, World Economic Forum, United Nations, IMF, World Bank,
George Soros,
all the royal houses of Europe, Democrats, anti-American never Trumpers, you're all part of it. The information is out there. And for those of us that are speaking out, be aware. China, Ukraine, Hunter's laptop, train derailments, gun violence, inflation, all the things that we're commenting in the public domain, texting, typing onto these servers. Those things are decoys to bring you out into the open for AI to identify you and see what team you're on. Be aware. Think local, get local. Think small, get small. And the ideological alignment of individual people, institutions, and organizations working in concert toward a common goal is not conspiratorial thinking. It is a cartel. And we have a very vulnerable financial system in America. The U.S. dollar itself is declining as the world reserve currency. And if you don't understand that, please continue to listen to our show as we move into the most important meat of American history that put us on this course that this course that we're on.
And let me interject here. What we're discussing right now with Trump are the symptoms. What we talk about on this show from week to week, that's the cause.
Correct. The U.S. dollar is saving your butt. As long as the U.S. dollar remains strong and continues to get used globally for international commercial transactions like oil, that's called a petrodollar, okay, then we're okay. I didn't say we're great, so we're okay. But the U.S. dollar, as soon as it loses its world reserve currency status, the value of the U.S. dollar is going to plummet, and it's going to look a lot like something from Germany.
Or Venezuela.
Yeah. So, by the way, much of the world is arranging to abandon the American dollar to settle international trade accounts, which hurts the value of the dollar. While we continue to supply more dollars into the economy, is going to accelerate the decline of the U.S. dollar and your retirement and your income and your savings. And that all means a sharp rise in U.S. inflation, which, again, the money you're putting aside for your retirement 10, 15, 20, 25 years from now isn't going to be enough, will not be enough. So I want to mention one thing, a little bit in the weeds. This is so important. This is a story that probably passed by your eyes because I don't know how much it was published. But unless you're in this business of world currency or you're paying attention to this microscopic topic that I've been paying attention to, there's a national oil company of China called CNOOC. And in France, there is another national oil company called Total Energies. Now, the Chinese national oil company and the French national energy company just completed their first liquefied natural gas trade through the Shanghai Exchange using the Chinese yuan as the currency. This exchange between the UAE, the Emirates, and France and China is taking place without U.S. dollars. That process will continue. The U.S. dollar will continue to weaken. And in the geopolitical world of currency and currency valuations and international trade, this might be the Archduke Ferdinand moment for the end of the petrodollar. Hey, thanks for listening. What do we do? What do the people do? This is not a political party matter anymore. This is what do the American people do to deal with the fact that enough American sheep have been conditioned to think that this indictment of Donald Trump on these particular charges by this particular prosecutor is lawful under the banner of, quote, no one is above the law. First response on that is Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Yeah.
They are above the law.
Yeah. First of all, aren't these the people who have been telling us for decades that the American judicial system is corrupt, it's racist, it's all sorts of problems, but now all of a sudden it's pure as the wind-driven snow. Only Trump will get a fair trial.
Yeah. I am espousing the broken windows theory of enforcement on how the people, and the only elected representatives that can carry the voice of the American people are the GOP, the few GOP in Congress and in the Senate. I'm not sure that J.D. Vance in the Senate is enough of a populist to carry this flag. But Jim Jordan is, okay? Senator Paul is, right?
Yes.
You must pay attention now to specific congressmen like Jim Jordan.
He's already on the job with this, by the way.
And you have to pay attention to Senator Paul. They're on the job. They are speaking the truth to power.
And they're sending subpoenas to Alvin Bragg saying, hey, we fund your office to the tune of about X percent. We'd like to know what's going on with those dollars. Get on down here, and we'll ask you some Roger Stone-type questions.
So I'm calling House Speaker Kevin McCarthy after the show, and I'm sure he's going to take my call. Actually, he's been on the show. Yeah,
that's right, yes.
Speaker McCarthy.
You got him on speed dial.
Kevin, you need to inform Biden tonight, immediately, today, the debt ceiling increase talks are over, period, end of story. We're unplugging this out-of-control federal machine. Number two, we're writing up articles of impeachment against Christopher Wray. That guy's done more than anyone else to whitewash the crimes of the FBI and DOJ. Number three, we're going after some Democrat federal judges, especially the ones sitting over these January 6 cases. Oh, those liberal federal judges out in California who think they can play politics with the laws of our country? No, there are consequences for doing so. We're writing up articles of impeachment on them. Here in Ohio, I'm calling the Columbiana County prosecutor. I've got two cases with this guy. You should convene your own grand jury to investigate Norfolk Southern derailment in your county and bring a case against Transportation Secretary Pete, where are you, Buttigieg. Republican state AGs, Dave Yost, Texas, Florida, and Georgia. You AGs, you Republican AGs with big blue dots, cities, with big blue donors, need to convene your grand juries to inspect Democrat politicians and big money donors. Take a look at Cleveland. All right, let's take a look at Cleveland. Let's go ahead and take a look here in Columbus, who's doing what. Let's take a look in Atlanta. Let's take a look in Miami. All right, while we're at it, throw in Houston.
If we're going to look for skeletons in people's closets, if it's going to go from baseball to football, let's put on the helmets.
And did I mention that in the state of Virginia, you have how many federal employees, the Pentagon, and an attorney general that's Republican? So let's wind up a grand jury there in Arlington, Virginia. And Pentagon, time to account for billions of dollars for all of your wasteful spending. This isn't what Alvin Bragg has done is an open invitation for the states to investigate federal individuals who live in its borders or do business in its borders for any possible wrongdoings, regardless of how small. And by launching investigations into them and seizing their communications as part of those investigations, who knows what actual crimes we might find?
Well, and
that's what needs to happen.
Right. And that's what needs to happen on a governmental level. How about on a personal level? If you happen to be thinking about going to the city of New York to catch maybe a few musicals or take a long weekend there, show your kids Wall Street, maybe not. Maybe we just do a national boycott of every single New York City trip No more hotels, no more restaurants.
They would love it.
No more nothing.
They would love it.
No, they wouldn't, because they would go out of business. Those people depend upon tourism, and we're going to send the shark to Amity Island, like in Jaws.
We were talking before the show with our producer. One of the things that I can see happening over the next decade or two is the rise of federalism, the rise of Jeffersonian populism again, whether it's Donald Trump, and someone's going to have to step in his shoes. And I'm afraid that my friend Vivek Ramaswamy, my friend, met him once.
He's a nice guy, though.
I don't think it's his turn. Ron DeSantis is a neocon. Right now, my fan is Ron Paul, and
Trump Paul 2024.
And what we have to pay attention to is something that Noam Chomsky, the Vietnam War protester, the quote radical,
far leftist,
right, and almost everything I read now about Noam Chomsky, I read now and agree with almost everything Mr. Chomsky says. I was told that he was a wackadoo. Noam Chomsky, guy's way out there. He's a communist. He's a Marxist. He's a leftist. No, he's a populist. I mean, he's
a genius linguist first.
That's right. That's right. So if what we were talking about before the show, I got lost there, sidetracked, is as defense attorneys, we're in the middle of trial. If the prosecutor jumps up and objects, and I don't know why they're objecting, I don't concede. I double down and go, I don't know yet why you're objecting, but there's something, I'm getting close to something that you don't want me to discover. So when the judge looks at us and says, what's your response, Mr. Coffel? I go, I just object. May we approach? Let's force the prosecutor to reveal what it is they're so concerned about. Now, why do I mention this? TikTok, the TikTok ban. I don't understand the TikTok ban. I believe this TikTok ban is a psyop. I think that the whatever inherent dangers there are with TikTok are present in every app. I don't think it's any more dangerous than the crap that's being funneled to the American people.
TikTok, not the ban.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Through Gannett News or the Murdoch Empire or the family that runs the New York Times or the WAPO, there are inherent dangers with misinformation in public discourse. Do you pass a federal law censoring? No, you don't. Is it being used to spy on us and brainwash our young people? Maybe.
Just don't use it.
All right. But the bill to ban TikTok actually...
It doesn't name TikTok.
The next opportunity for conservative populist voices who've already been downgraded, demonetized, deplatformed, demonized, to now be
shut down and prosecuted.
It's to be criminalized.
This is the Digital Patriot Act of our time.
It is absolutely the thought crime of questioning the government, because too many people will swallow what they're spoon-fed. Too many, many millions of us refuse to swallow what we're spoon-fed, and we want to exercise our constitutionally protected right to freedom of speech and a free press. This TikTok ban isn't about TikTok.
Well, and let me just ask you, liberal, something.
And pay attention again to Senator Rand Paul. He'll tell you the truth.
Yes.
Just pay attention to what Senator Paul's saying.
Let me tell you, liberal, something. Do you really want Trump to have the power that the Resist Act, this TikTok ban act, gives to the president? Because I don't want Biden to have that power, but you want Trump to have that power?
Let's make sure we understand.
Save yourselves, for God's sakes.
The restricting the emergence of security threats that risk Information and Communications Technology Act, or restrict. You will not hear anything about the dangers of a central bank, a global central bank, digital currencies. You won't hear anything about us questioning why our money is going to Ukraine. You won't hear anything about the shortcomings of the banking industry. You will not get any information other than what the overlords want you to know, period. Fend for yourself, get small, go local, and stick together.